So then what happened next? Then, of course, every time, then Baba came out the final time in 67. I mean, yeah, 67. 56.
And then
56.
Yeah. And we went, he made that tour from Myrtle Beach to Washington, L.A., and then Marymount, and then up to San Francisco.
That was his first trip there.
That was in...
First trip to Marymount?
No, that was the second.
Second trip.
No, well, I mean, the first time that Baba got there. Yeah, yeah, the second time that he was supposed to get there. And when we got to... when he drove up, I went to L.A. to pick Baba up and drive. Were you in the car at that time?
Yeah.
And just Amon, Lee, and Baba, we were driving through that beautiful country. They have big orchards and it's all agriculture. It's very lovely. And Baba was like a real estate man. He was putting his head on the wall. Oh, what's this? How do they grow this? How do they do that? It was fantastic. I mean, that's what impressed me. Nothing escaped him. The tiniest little detail. And he's right there. That's what we cannot do. He knows how to, you know, right now, zoom in 100% right now. He doesn't live in the past or the future the way we do. But right here. And I saw examples of it with the simple little things like taking a drive. He isn't thinking about this or that or talking about some philosophical thing. Well, how's this tree go? How do they irrigate? How do they do this? How do they do that? So he enjoyed the trip very much, and we got up to Marymount, and that I must include my famous little Cali girl. I had a beautiful dog who was very intelligent, and as we arrived, I opened the door, and I said, Baba, here's the spirit of Marymount. Meet Cali. And she reached, stuck her nose up to Baba and was saying, ha, 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 at him. And he reached his hand over and he patted her gently and he said, she'll be a human being in her next life because I have touched it. So Kali went off very, she understood what it was all about. Everybody looked down to Kali. I looked up to Kali after that. Well, then when they were going to leave, I don't know if you're interested in this so-called miracle Baba performed because of my stupidity. I said, we're all supposed to fly up to San Francisco. And I was going back and forth between Marymount and Los Angeles. And I said, Baba, I'm going to drive up in the station wagon. And I said, a lot of the people had given me books, and Mayor G had bought a lot of ties and things. And he couldn't carry them on the plane. So he asked me if I would put them in the station wagon. So I said, sure. So I said, Baba, I'm going to drive up to San Francisco, and I've got a lot of things to take. And he said, no. And he said, you have to come with me in the plane. I said, well, that's silly. I said, why shouldn't I drive? I said, it's necessary to help these people. And then when I come back, I have to have transportation. You're all going to fly off. I thought I was being very reasonable, you know. And Baba still kept saying no. And finally said, all right, but you drive with somebody. You can't drive alone. I said, I'll drive all night and get there the same time they did. He said, no, you can't. I said, well, I've driven it dozens of times. I said, it's perfectly all right. No, somebody else must go with you. So I said, okay. So I dashed out and I found Adi. And I said, hey, Adi, do you want to drive up to San Francisco with me tonight? And Adi said, yeah, it'd be great fun. He said, but he said, wait a minute. He said, be careful how you ask Baba. He said, don't just say, may we, or yes and no answer. He wound up this long roundabout dissertation on how we should, you know, that we should go together. And by the time I got to Baba, I'd forgotten it. And he said, because if you don't do it that way, he's going to say no. And Adi was like a little fox show. He was always trying to put little tricks over the way I did. So we went. We both went into the Baba room. There was Baba. And I said, Baba, and I probably blurted it out. Adi and I are going to drive up the side. We're going to drive with the side. You traitor, you're leaving me, turned to Adi. And Adi just collapsed. He got so embarrassed. His face got red and he got very humble. I said, well, I'll find somebody else, Baba. And before Baba goes in, I dashed out. And I found Lud Dimple. Hey, Lud, you want to drive with me to San Francisco? Yeah, it'd be great fun. Baba, I've got somebody. Lud, you're supposed to... Baba said, you're in charge of so-and-so and so-and-so, aren't you? And then Lud crumples up. Oh, yeah, Baba, I forgot. I was determined by that time I was going to find someone. So I rushed out and I saw B, his wife. I said, hey, B, do you want to drive up to San Francisco with me? Yeah, great. So we go into Baba. Baba said, B, are you feeling very well? Well, she was perfectly all right until he asked her. Yeah. Well, I have night blindness. You can't go. So I thought, just wait. So I went out. They called me back. Baba wants to see you. And he had someone there from Los Angeles. And a person I wasn't particularly fond of. And he said, yeah, you're going with him. And quick as a flash, I said, well, do you have a driver's license? Well, I just got one. Have you driven up to San Francisco? No. Baba, impossible. If we drive to San Francisco, I'm going to say, he's going to lose the way. Impossible. And Baba had a gleam, and he knew that I knew that he knew that he knew. And I dashed out, and I was looking for somebody else, but I couldn't find anyone, and Baba didn't call me in again, so I just let it go at that. It wasn't until when we were really ready to go, I went back to L.A., and it was late in the evening, and I was going to drive up alone. And Baba was, he went in the room about 8 or 9 o'clock, wasn't it? And he was supposedly in bed already. And when I got there, he was there in the doorway. And he wants to see you. And he was this young man whom I had known. He was engaged, had been, and he came with his fiancée on the trip and one of his friends. And I don't know what had happened, but at Mayermont, Baba had broken the engagement of this young man because he said, your best friend is in love with your fiancée. And you must release her. And he said, because they want to be married, they don't want to hurt your feelings. But he said, I ask you to release her. So the poor lad, I mean, he was broken up. And he was standing by Baba, you know, very crestfallen. And I found out later why Baba sent him with me. So I said, great. And I liked the man, the young fellow. But, when I was driving Baba back to Hollywood, he sat in the seat beside me, and he kept putting his hand on my head. He said, now promise to drive slowly. And I was going, you know, 45. I said, well, I am going slow. And I thought, well, that's funny. I didn't say anything. And it was like, promise to drive slowly. And then when we got along the beach, I went down to about 25, 30. I said, look, Baba, look at the beautiful view. And again, he said, promise to drive slowly. Baba, I'm already going slow. I can't go any slower. What are you talking about? And he sort of looked at me as if I was stupid, you know. But I didn't realize what he was talking about until much later. He had told the boy the same thing. When you drive up, don't go beyond over 40 miles. All the way to San Francisco, 40 miles. Imagine that. And stop every hour for a cup of coffee. He told the boy that, and he told me, he didn't tell me about the coffee part, but he said to drive slowly. He didn't say 40 miles. So we started off, and then the boy started to talk. And he told me his whole story. And that was Baba's way of helping the lad get rid of his sorrow. And so by the time we got, and I would say, oh, well, so why do you find somebody else? And, you know, and we'd stop every hour and have coffee. And we had a wonderful time. And so finally, by the time we got to San Francisco, if it weren't for Baba, he said, I would be brokenhearted. But it's all right. I've released her. And then we were getting close to San Francisco, and so going through a little town. And it was midnight, and I was doing the driving, and he was asleep. And there were trucks, great big trucks always at night. And they're way up above you, and the lights were shining right down in my mirror. And I went off to the side, driving slowly, waiting for him to pass. And I crawled along at 10 miles, and suddenly went, woo, woo. And the boy woke up and said, my God, the cops are behind us. I said, what? I said, I'm crawling. And so you better stop. And it had been the police. It hadn't been a truck at all. And I thought, well, that's funny. So this very angry policeman drove alongside and said, if you hadn't stopped, I was going to ram the car. I said, how dare you? I said, you're a police officer and you threatened to ram my car. I said, I'm going to have you fired. I said, how dare you say that? I said, I'm not speeding. What are you stopping me for? Well, he said, I was asleep in the car when you drove through town. I was bored. And I thought I'd have fun. I'd chase you a little bit and scare you. I said, you've got a nerve. And I was very angry. So he finally pulled out his back. Are you writing a ticket? Yeah. I said, you wait. I'm going to take this to court. So he wrote out a ticket and gave it to me. So that was the end of that. So we got to the hotel, had a nice sleep. And when Baba's plane arrived, they said, Baba wants to see both of you immediately. They hadn't. They were still carrying their suitcases in. And then we went to this big room where Baba was standing. He said, and we started joking. I said, how are you? How are the two? I said, well, we're all right, Baba. I said, you played me a trick. You had me arrested in that town, didn't you? I said, I wasn't stealing. I said, now I have to pay a fine. And I said, you did that. And so we joked about it for a little while. And then suddenly he got very serious. And he took each of us by the arm, and Adi came along, and we went way over to another corner, and he got very solemn. I've never seen him so serious, and even I shut up. And he sat there and he said, you don't know how hard I had to work to prevent a catastrophe. So either he had the policeman stop us because he saw something happening, or way from the beginning when he said not to drive alone. But the way he said it was so solemn that, I mean, I was really shaken. And he said, you don't know how hard I had to work to prevent a catastrophe. But you see, that's his beauty. Instead of telling me you stupid little idiot or, you know, punishing me in some way, He went to all the trouble to prevent something from happening. See, those are the things that are so impressive about Baba. This complete understanding and compassion. Nothing petty or he didn't give you a big preacher like the Archbishop of Canterbury would or the Pope, you know. Just complete understanding and accepting you as you are. Now, how many people can do that? That, to me, is true greatness. Accepting you as you are and where you are, and having the patience to wait until you wake up a little bit. So anyway, I went and got back safely to back to Marymount.
Did you take the ticket to court?
So since then, I haven't. What?
Did you take the ticket to court?
I wrote a very sharp letter, because it meant that happened way up north. It meant that I would have to travel back to take it to court. So I wrote a very long letter to the court and told how he had behaved. He had, I got to get fired. He may have. Because I've taken other tickets to court that were just as unjust, and they're very effective.